Simon Kufi Gimel and Yerdeya, Din Bishul Oyvei Kachovim. And I wanted to start with one point that we touched upon last week, to go into a little further detail. So the Shita of the Mechaber is that the Jew has to be directly involved in the Bishul process. Whether it's lighting the fire under the food, putting the food on the fire, literally, but he has to be directly involved in the Bishul process. V'yesh chol k'der amos ha'sfirlu d'hadloka sa'ish, lighting the fire, achitu b'kachol ha'mahane, or stoking the coals helps, l'inyin Bishul, k'mo l'inyin pas. V'chein noyagin, and this is the minigat, even if he wasn't intending it as a heter, he just stoked the coals for whatever reason. That even if he didn't start the coals, nor did he throw in a splinter of wood, the non-Jew lit the oven from an Eish of Yisrael, it's shoring. So principally the Ashkenazim, it's what's appearing apparently from the Taz, we should follow the second sheet, is to light the fire. But it's Mefurish in the Chochmas Odom that Lemaisa was Samech on the third sheet too. Even if it was Hidlik, it's the Minik certainly is that way, I believe it's in the Chochmas Odom, I saw it. But the minig is to be soymech and even lighting it from the fire of a jewel, so soymech on the third sheet of the Ramo. That is an interesting issue, which the Chochmas Odom certainly discusses, that how much do I have to contribute to the fire for it to remove the din bishul akum? Do I have to contribute enough heat? I put in enough wood that it can affect the cooking, or I throw one toothpick in and it goes up and whatever, the heat really does not change anything, does that suffice? So the Chayodim, the Chochmas Odom says that certainly lachatchila it should be strong enough to affect the bishul, but he says ein koyach b'limchais, even if they put in anything, even if it doesn't affect the bishul, ein koyach limchais. Means be dinner, it's mutter as long as the yeet contributed to the fire altogether. Now, there's an issue which arises, and I believe the Chochmas Odom sheds a lot of light on this, and I think I made it in the Metzias as an interesting side of it too. Let's say you have a place that you don't have a pilot light. So you want to put, some places, put a bulb inside the oven, and the bulb stays on all the time. So the yid puts the bulb on and closes up the switch so they can't, and that's it. And the bulb stays on all the time. Does that suffice? Now, certainly, according to the last shita of the Chochmas Odom, that as long as he contributes any heat to it, even if it doesn't help in the bishul, it's certainly good, according to that. I don't have any doubt. But I made an interesting discovery. Someone showed me in a book once that I don't know what the current technology does, but historically, how did the soda companies, when they had an outdoor soda machine, how did they keep the soda from freezing in the wintertime? What did they do? So the soda shouldn't freeze. You put money in it, you get a frozen soda, you're not going to be very happy. So what did they do to keep the soda from freezing? So they had a very interesting thing. They had a light bulb burning inside the machine, and it made enough heat inside the machine that it kept the soda from freezing. This was the way the soda companies ran their machines. So that suggests that the heat coming from that bulb is quite substantial. One cannot dismiss it as being insubstantial. See, that's practical. Its effect was practically felt. It didn't just dissipate. It made a very strong practical difference. So I believe that even according to the standard that it has to contribute to the bishul in a closed oven, which is smaller really than a soda machine, it's going to have an effect on the heat of the oven. So our kol ponim, based on the Chochmas Odom, it certainly is a heter l'chora. So that's what I wish to amplify. There is another issue which comes up, and the question is in terms of Bishul Akam for a Chayla. What's the din of Bishul Akam for a Chayla? So there happen to be, there are two places in the Mishnah Berurah. One that says it's for Chayla Sheyesh Bo Sakana is a Heter. And one that says for Chayla Sheyin Bo Sakana is a Heter. And one's in Shem and Shin Yud Ches and the Chushabas. And one is in Shin Chav Ches is treating a Chayla B'Shabas. And Shin Yud Ches is the Alochus of Bishul. Now, a very fascinating thing is that I asked the Chofetz Chaim, I asked Rav Leib, the Chofetz Chaim's son, how the Chofetz Chaim intends some of apart. There's two different psukim. So Rav Leib wrote back, it's very simple, he says, my father wrote one of the simonim, and I wrote the other simon. So Mamela, that's why we came out with two different psukim. So, and the one that his father wrote, I believe, which was the one which was more makel. It's ultimately, I believe, it's a machlekes the Ron, the Rajma, the Shaila, which Shita the Paskin like, and his father wrote the psak according to the Shita, that's even a chodesh ein by sakana. So there are those, I don't know why, but they didn't like Rav Leib's answer for what he wrote. And they have all types of pulpulim and terrorists to try to make, I'm talking from Choshev Yid, but they're aware of Rav Leib, what Rav Leib wrote. But why in the world they want to do such a thing, I don't know. Rav Leib said, I was there, and this is what happened. My father wrote this simon, I wrote this simon, and I come out of it, that's all. And, you know, if the Mishnah Berurah was a sefer that I don't had only a stira in one place, Mamela, but it's well known that whatever the reasons for it are, but there are stiras all over the Mishnah Berurah and many, many psak. So it's nothing remarkable, and maybe Rav Leib's reason is one of the reasons for it, that he had other people help him. Be that as it may, then there arose a second issue. Well, there's a very choshuva Rav today, he's a very choshuva Talmud Chacham. He argues that the heter, for according to the Shita, that for Chaylish Ain by Sakana, there's a heter is only on Shabbos. It doesn't apply in the weekdays. Because the weekdays, you could ultimately get a Jew to light it. In other words, the heter only applies to Shabbos. Because let's say you need to warm food or cook food for a person that's sick. And you can't cook food because the fire is out. So, Mamela, that's the reason that there's a heter. But on the weekday where you could conceivably get a Yid, there's no heter for such a thing. I did not personally think that that's the pshat in this shita.
Is that being Yashiv
Bestira?
The Shabbos and not Shabbos?
Well, they're both on Shabbos, I think. The Chofetz Chaim, they're both on Shabbos. They're both of them are on Hilchos Shabbos and the Chofetz Chaim. I don't think that would be Yashiv Bestira. I don't think so. But I did not see eye to eye with this. So a while back, I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I went to visit Rav Azriel Orbach Shlita. And this is one of the shaylos that I asked him. So he held for a double poshet that the heter applies for any chayla, not just on Shabbos. That is a heter for tzorchei chaylam. That is a heter to, if there's a tzorach for it, that you can use bishalakum. They didn't, in other words, they didn't ask for Bishul Akum for Chaylam. That's basically what comes out. Good. Nobody's saying that Lachatchili you shouldn't strive, you know, to do it, you know, with the highest standard, etc. That's not the question. The question is, in terms of Shasat Chak situations, what to do. Is there a heter or not?
That's
Chol Shaim. Now, what happens to be, there is, by and large, you know, there are two dimensions to this problem. As it is, there's a dimension in non-Beis Hoshe Yisrael and Beis Hoshe Yisrael. Which this heter you only need in its full glory if you're not a Beis Hoshe Yisrael. You're in a non-Jewish establishment, a non-Jewish hospital, or whatever, and they cook for a chayla. Is you allowed to eat the food? So you would need this heter that you're allowed to eat the food. If it's a Jewish establishment, then there's already altogether. There are the rivet held. That in a Jewish establishment, a Jewish base of Yehudi, there's no Isra and Bishul Akum altogether. So the ma'isa, we don't paskin like that, the chatchila. But for Shas Adchak, we're certainly soymach on it. There's no question that we're soymach on it for Shas Adchak. So consequently, that would be l'chayra, another heter. In other words, and if it's a Jewish-owned facility, where this chayla is, or a Jewish home, it's in his own house, and someone's coming in from outside to take care of him, so it's ultimately there's a heter of Beis HaShem Yisrael. So there is, you know, for a Shas Adchak, some basis to be soymach on that too. So this is just a little clarification. Yes, Aaron.
Is a Shas Adchak, let's say someone, for instance, someone is incapable of caring for herself, and she has a live-in who cooks things.
Yeah, that's certainly a Shas. That's certainly a Shas.
Would that, in other words, would that be
that's certain
that she could rely on day to day, or is it something?
No, well, it's more than that. But there you have the heter that such a person is certainly begadir achayla, they can't take care of themselves.
Right.
So there certainly, what Rav Azriel said, certainly applies to that case. That
so it could be a heter over a long period of time.
Yeah, yeah. The problem in the type of situation you're pointing to is not the Bishul Akum issue. Shaila is how you keep kashrus into place altogether. You know, this is a very, very big problem. In other words, when you have caregivers who usually don't come from the upper echelons of society in the first place, and so they're not particularly learned or attentive, you know, it's not their personality usually. Some are, but a lot of times when you don't have, you know, very underpaid and uneducated people, you know, they don't operate at the highest standard. So consequently, you can't always get what you want done. So how to keep kosher in such a situation is a very difficult problem. That's beyond what that's not the topic of the night share. It's how to keep the place kosher when you have such caregivers running around your house. And it's a very, very difficult problem. A very difficult problem.
I
don't think I would not apply it to children. They're not chaylim, so I would not apply it to the family of the chaylim. Yeah.
One-time Bishul situation, not the caregiver situation. Is that a problem though for the pots that we used?
Lechatchila, you're certainly supposed to kasher the pots too. No, I said if it was Beis HaShem Yisrael, you have something, somewhat at least, what to be said. But we're pretty liberal with kasher. In other words, even cheres, earthenware, china, which we don't normally kasher, but if they're only affected by Bishul Akum, we are makel to kasher in such cases too. We don't ask.
Okay. As far as we make all by the Jewish establishment, is it because there's no
chasmas? Yeah, let's go back. The principle, the principal reason in halacha that Yonah is pointing to for Bishul Akum is chasonas, that we shouldn't come to be too socially familiar, and therefore this can lead to intermarriages. So Beis HaShem Yisrael, if it's done under a Jewish aegis, so consequently it's not really there. You know, not functioning in that role. It's not a social interaction in that type of sense, perhaps. That it's, they're under, you know, it's a Jewish establishment. It's a whole different,
right.
You know, it's colored a whole different way. But as I said, this is the Rai Vitshita, and Lachatchila was certainly, we're not saying on that Lachatchila.
It's a little dangerous because a person could take that story and say, they'll say, this is not. I'm not worried about here or here or here.
Well, listen, everything can get out of hand in this world. You know, what is the
I think any restaurant is you're not gonna date the chef, so you know, a hospital or a nursing home, all these things are, you don't know the chef.
You know, what did a Rav say once? A Rav said like this, you know, in other words, you have to be a Baal Seichel and you have to have Yirah Shamayim. You know, you could be a flaming kanoi, everything's awesome. You could find a terem for 5 million things. You know, you could find a terem for all types of things, endlessly. The chokhmah, to know where to be makel, where to be machmah, where to draw the line, that needs chokhmah. After all is said and done, and a lot of times that has to do with Yirah Shamayim. To know where to draw the line. So these are not easy areas. And, you know, care of chaylim, how it's affected by this. And this is, so these are just some of the, I wanted to explore a little bit more some of the parameters of Bishul Akum, which are very, very relevant ones. Now,
is Kach from the Pats that the Knas?
No, it's not a Knas. No, it's not. It's not bad. It's a Knas.
There's no. There's nothing wrong with the food.
The food of Adam. A food that a non-Jew cooks in violation of Bishul Akum is also not allowed to eat it. Someone
oh,
may
so by
it.
Default,
some
it was
cooked
with
the Rabbonin. It's Machal Midr Rabbonin. It's Machal Asuras. So therefore the tam of that food went into the pot.
So therefore if you pour it into another pot, it's the same problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now we have the following. To what extent do we have to cook something to remove the problem of Bishul Akum? In other words, how cooked does it have to be to remove the problem of Bishul Akum? So we'll start with the Mechaber and Sifir Aleph. Yiniach Yisrael Agav Ya'ish V'yiniach Oivet Kechom L'Shamra. And let's go back a step. We're going backwards. Nosam Yisro Kedera Laish and Sivchas. The Yi put a fire, a pot of food on the fire. Vesilka, and he took it off. Uvoy Kechavim Vechzira. And a non-Jew came and put it back on the fire and finished the cooking. Osir, this is a violation of Bishul Akum, the Shulchan Aruch says. Elam Kenigia Lamaychal Ben Rusoy, unless it reached the Shir Maychal Ben Rusoy. Now, who was this fellow Ben Rusoy? Ben Rusoy was a thief. And I'll tell you something, I don't think his name was Drusoy either. We'll come back to that in a moment. And he was always on the lamp. Now, one of the most dangerous things for a thief is when he stops to cook his food, because the smoke rises and his enemies can see where he is. So, you know, the police or the army will come after him. So this fellow, this thief who was always on the lamp, he cooked his food to the slightest extent possible to make it edible, ate it up, and he disappeared. Or he took it along with him because he didn't want to hang around too long. So this became the minimal amount of cooking that something is called cooking. There's actually a shayla in the Rishonim, but this is half cooked or a third cooked. Now here, since it's an Issa de Rabbanon, the Shulchan Aruch follows the view of a third cooked. Shehu shlish bishulo shesilko. As I said, I don't believe this fellow's name was Drusoy. I believe that it's a reference that, in fact, doras va'ochal means a person that just grabs his food and wolfs it down. You know, half raw, or totally raw. It's just grabbing a hold of your food and just tearing into it. And that's why I think they called him Ben Drusoy. That wasn't his name. It's just his actions were Drusoy. He was doras the food. And that's why I think also that in the Gemara in Baba Basra, you have the case of Barshatya. Nichsei de Varshatya. So Varshatya was a schizophrenic. So he had Itim Cholim, Itim Boris. Sometimes he was lucid and sometimes he was psychotic. So what happened was that somebody bought real estate from Varshatya, and then there erupted a fight where Varshatya was on the day that he signed his contract. Was he in the world of reality or was he in his psychotic world? So that's a shy that the Gemara goes into in Cheska Sabbatim, how to deal with this case. But I don't think that his name was Barshatya. And I have a proof even that it's that. I think his Barshatya means was the person that was afflicted from shtus, was afflicted by mental illness. Now, I'm quite sure that his name was not Barshatya. Besides the fact that it just too conveniently fits in that it is a reference to shtus. But it would be inconceivable that Chazal would have mentioned his name for history. There's a person that suffered from mental illness, and he obviously had a certain amount of humiliation and embarrassment about it. So for the case study of how to deal with that case, what's the necessity of recording his name in history? That we should record his name in the Sifrei Halacha. You know, Kohen the Meshugana, you know, did this, you know. Which is right, there was a guy, he was a schizophrenic, it was Itim Cholim, Itim Borim, it's a good description of schizophrenia. And then, explore what the din would be. So it's inconceivable that Chazal would have recorded his name for history and subjected him to humiliation for generations. So that's why I'm quite convinced, that's really what gave me the thought, that Barshatya just referred in fact to his state. He was a person that had, you know, mental illness, suffered from mental illness from shtus at times. And that's then I realized that Ben Drusoy also means it fits a little bit too conveniently. Ben Drusoy was not the name of the thief, it was the name that they used, the nickname they used for the thief. So the basic point of this being that since the food is now edible, so it's no longer considered Bishul Akam, it's Bishul Yisrael. I made the food edible. He cooked it after me, so what? Now what ought to follow from this is, let's say we turn it around the other way, that the non-Jew cooked it and made the food edible to Meichel Ben Drusoy, and I came along and I finished it. So it ought to be that the food should be osered, because we're saying in the runs of reasons Meichel Ben Drusoy in this halacha is considered cooked. Now the Mechaber is consistent. The Mechaber says, in Bishlo Ovid Kachov and Kamaychal Ben Drusoy, the Gomro Yisrael, and the yeet came along after it was already edible as a cooked item. The Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Lesser, one should Aser. That's totally consistent in logic with the previous position that Kamaychal Ben Drusoy makes it cooked. And he has the following caveat: Elaim Kain Hu Erev Shabbos Erev Yontiv Yesh Hefset Meruba Bedov. In other words, if there's some big tzorich. Either, you know, this just happened in a catering hall and you have, you know, $1,000 in steaks are on the line. Or it's Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, and you need the food for Shabbos and Yontif, so then you could be Makels. But the Mechaber, his principal position is that once it reached Meichel Ben Drusoy, it's cooked. So whoever brought it to Meichel Ben Drusoy is the one that cooked it. A Yid brought it to that, it's considered cooked by a Jew. A non-Jew brought it to that, it's cooked by a non-Jew. The Ramor goes on to say, V'yesh matirin. And some say it's butter, and it's very interesting. The Shach says, V'chein askomas rov ha-poiskum lo kamashal v'yisa v'hetashoy. The rov and the poiskum agree with the Ramor's psak, and not like the mashal, that if the yid came along, v'shlo v'chom 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 is enough. Meaning to say, since it's an Issur d'Rabbanan, we'll make it on both sides. Means, if a Yid cooked it to Meichel Ben Drusoy, we say it's cooked. If a non-Jew cooked it, and it got up to Meichel Ben Drusoy.
So if a Jew cooked it to Meichel Ben Drusoy, and a guy cooked it from
rest of the way, then you're fine. Both ways will make it. Now what would come out is the following. Let's say what happens is that it's fully cooked already. Then there's nothing to do anymore. In other words, if the yid didn't cook it, Meichel Ben Drusoy, the guy cooked it all the way till the end, as much as he need to cook it, then there's no way that you're going to find the heter anymore.
You have to have.
No.
We're
Meikle until it still has to be cooked. Well, we have to draw the line between cooking and improving the taste. Certain things you want to marinate for a long time. A cholent tastes better, you know, after it cooks and cooks for hours. But bishul is determined when something is considered soft through and through. Then it's mabushul. The fact that you leave it on the fire afterwards and the flavors mix more, it dries out more, etc., that is not part of bishul. So you have to be very careful about that here. That here is a heter if the yeet actually cooks it. But once the cooking is finished, just because I leave the cholent on the fire overnight, is not going to make a heter out of it. Okay, now, let's go back to the beginning of the siman.
So does that apply even when you're not talking according to the chaver? You know, even in Ashkenazim, it can still apply?
That?
In other words, that chomer or kula, according to us, we don't have to do that much cooking.
Well, if everyone holds, if the Yid didn't tell Michael Ben Rusoy, it's fine. The question is the other way around. If the non-Jew cooked it to Michael Ben Rusoy, and I finished it, then what's the din? The Mechaber is Machmer, except it's some type of Shasat Chak. And we Ashkenazim a Meikel. So here's another one of the areas where the Sfardim are more Machmer than we are. There. The Shulchan Aruch and Kufi Yud Gimel Sif Aleph outlines the basic guidelines for Bishul Akum. Dover Sheinu Nechol Kamo Shulchai. Number one, it's something that you can't eat raw. If you can eat it raw, then there's no Iser of Bishul Akum. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, let's say you take an apple and the guy makes applesauce, there's no Iser because it could have eaten the apple raw. So there's no Iser. His bishul is not considered. It's interesting. In Hilchos Shabbos, it's a violation. Reish Nun Dalet Mefurish, that even if you cook something which could be nechal chai, but if you cook it, you violate bishul. But in the Isur bishul akum, they did not consider it substantial enough to make the Isur bishul akum on it. Now, there's a very interesting play that comes off this. It's, for example, let's say you pickle something. Like, we don't eat raw fish. But a pickled herring doesn't have to be cooked. Once it's pickled, it's edible. So now that's if we take the pickled herring, and now we cook it. And a non-Jew cooked the pickled herring. What's the din? I didn't cook it at all. The non-Jew cooked it. So the halachas, the achronim say that it's mutter. Why? Because before he did the cooking, Nechol Chai doesn't mean it has to come from nature that way. Nechol Chai means that before the non-Jew started to cook it, was it edible or not? That could be edible because it was naturally edible. I took an apple off the tree, which is naturally edible. It could be edible because we took a herring and we pickled it. And now it's edible. Now, you might ask the following, well, if that's the case, let's suppose a non-Jew pickled the herring. Then what's the din? If the Jew's pickling of the herring takes off the din, it removes any possibility of bishul akum. So let's turn it the other way.
Is that because it's kavish mavashel, or just because it's
edible? We don't need
nechol chai.
Yeah, you are begedel nechol chai. You don't need the din mavushel. It's not totally in mavushel. It's chai. So let's say a non-Jew renders it edible by pickling the herring. What's the din? So in the Achronim we find that there's no Isur Bishul Akum in such a case. They didn't extend the Isur Bishul Akum to such forms of preparation. Now it says also included in that, for example, that smoking is also not included in the Isur Bishul Akum. So and smoking happens to be altogether exactly what its status is less than 100% clear. I mean, there are places in the Yerodea which indicate that smoking is begeder bishul. And in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, Rav Moshe Zatzal said that Meikar Adin principally believes that smoking is considered bishul or steaming. When you don't have, it's not, you don't do apply the heat directly to it. But he's not 1,000% convinced that that's true. And therefore he was machmer. As a chumrah, he didn't insist necessarily that everybody, he held it was a chumrah, not, for example, to pour hot water directly onto coffee on Shabbos. In other words, from the Kli Rishon. Again, there's another basis for the chumrah anyhow, but could I pour water, or could I put coffee into a Kli Rishon that's off the fire? So if it's something that was cooked already, so I can put it into a Kli Rishon that's off the fire. So suppose I had a little pot of boiling water. I come on Friday night, I want a coffee, I'll take it off, and I want to throw the coffee into the Kliyush and off the Eish. So if the coffee is considered Mavushal already, it would be Mutter. So Ramosha was Machmer, not to put it into a Kli Shlishi, I believe. Not even in a Kli Sheni, for that
reason. Is that because the coffee is cooked?
Because the coffee is cooked by, is steamed, or roasted. In effect, and he was not 1,000%. He said, Mitzad HaDin, he was convinced that it's Bishul, but in terms of, is there Is it 100% true, or is there mokum to be machmer that he was not willing? He said there is someone to be machmer. So here we would find that even if ma'ushan is considered bishul, it's just a form of bishul that they didn't aser. Even if in Hilchus Shabbos it would be bishul, just as nechel chai in Shabbos it would be bishul. So the
frying,
frying is certainly included in that in bishulak. Frying, roasting, all the means of preparation.
So Shabbos, when you make coffee, ground coffee, like a powder, you can use a kli.
It's better to pour the water from a kli sheni onto the grounds in the kli shlishi.
No, not really. If you're putting it into the
And then pour it onto the So then, if you want a better
coffee, and afterwards you can use a kli.
It's now again Ramosha held. They believe it's better to use a kli shlishi. As a chumrah, not as a din. So you'll get better coffee anyhow if you put it in the next cup and you pour the water over rather than trying to stir the coffee in. It dissolves better.
Hey, thank you. I didn't know
that. Try it out. Ramosha
held that it was better to pour from a cliche onto the ground in a cliche.
Yes, rather than to put it into a cliche. Coffee, instant, I'm talking about.
Why not into a cliche? Because it's still bishul, because it's the other
zeledas? Because it's irikli rishon. If you're pouring from a kli rishon and there is shayach bishul, so you could. There's also a chumrah of Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger had a chumrah that if something is now a solid and it turns into it dissolves, so how do we view it? Is a solid or a liquid in terms of bishul achar bishul? So principally the halacha states with solids there's no bishul achar bishul, and with liquids we're machmer that there is bishul achar bishul. So a solid that dissolves, where does it fit? So principally we hold that it's a solid. But there's a chumrah of Rabbi Geveger to be machmer to consider it a liquid, which would be another reason not. So according to that, you could put it into a kli sheni after you put the water in. According to Rav Moshe's chumrah, it's better to pour the water into a kli shlishi.
But you could do
irik kli sheni. Irik kli sheni, yes, clearly together kli shlishi. That's clear. Better off that way. You know, when you do certain things, there are certain people that say Kriya Shema three parshiyos every single night of their lives. So it's a very good thing. Why? Because then you don't have to have cheshbonos. Did I daven too early today? I didn't daven too early. Every night you do it. So the times that you daven too early, you also took care of yourself. You know, a person that always uses a kli shlishi stays out of trouble. You don't violate bishul. So that's number one.
Shlishi means that when you're taking the water off the urn into the cup, into one cup, and then pouring first cup into the second cup.
Yes.
The third cup is called shlishi.
That's the third vessel which contained it.
That's called shlishi. Right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. So the first thing the Shulchan Aruch tells us: Dovah Shein Onechel Kamo Shulchai. Number two, v'gam oyla al shulchan melochem. It has to be something which is oyla al shulchan melochem. Now, if you look at the shach here, there are two ways to read the shach, and how to understand the shach is probably a subject, I believe, of a certain machlokes achrayim. The shach says when it says oyla al shulchan melochem, so kosa ba'isa beheter kirbayim v'kurkava nubnei ma'ayim. Pieces of the kishkis, korkamon is part of one of the stomachs. This is low class food. You know, in Europe, if it was in the cow or it was in the chicken, they ate it. They couldn't afford to throw it out. But this was decidedly low class. It says, that this is, whoever eats them, as Nishkan mentioned, is not human. This is not food for human beings. But people eat them. And certainly he says, and therefore, this is not considered something that you would give someone that you want to give honor to. You wouldn't serve him a rib steak. You don't serve him the kishkas, the intestines. Nevertheless, there's an isra of bishul akum. So why is it osik as a bishul akum? Now, why is it osir because of Bishul Akum. That's the Shaila. The Shach doesn't tell us why it's awesome. Why is it awesome because of Bishul Akum? There are two ways to learn why it's also because of Bishul Akum. I believe you could learn that, does it mean that this is super junk food? I mean, it's not super junk food. It means this is, it's something that, you know, the low class people eat. It's not super junk food, but it's food for very, for low class people. And so then the Shach turned around, and the Shach is saying that even food for low class people, in other words, people, the impoverished people, their food is also included. And that's still not the heter of Eino Eilo Shulchan Melocha. Eino Eilo Shulchan Melocha is mamash junk food. So just because, you know, the poor people eat it, doesn't make it junk food. It's, you know, madrigas and madrigas. So some learn that Eino Eilo Shulchan Melocha only excludes junk food. But if you're higher class than junk food, even though they wouldn't serve it to the king, that nevertheless is considered a problem of Bishul Akum. The Aruch HaShulchan has a different spin on this Shach. He says, no, that's not the reason. He learns that the reason is that meat is included in the Yisur of Bishul Akum. Once they included meat, they didn't start kvetching on every cut of meat. This cut the Melech does eat, this cut he doesn't eat. Meat is included in Bishul Akum. So Mamela, if you're part of the Valchai, so you're considered meat. And therefore, it's also because of Bishul Akum. So meaning to say that perhaps the poor people eat this stuff. Elo, that maybe is enough of a heter to be matter Bishul Akum. But, so why is it also? It's only also for an outside reason. Because it's a classification, it's a class of food, of meat, which is included in Bishul Akum. So there is a classical machlekes of what's the heter of Bishul Akum in all the Shulchan Melocha. Does it mean that it's just the melech wouldn't eat it? Or does it mean that it's literally junk food? So from this shach, we don't really have a raya which of the two ways. You know, we could learn the shach in two different ways. We could learn that the shach holds that it's also, even though it would have been mutter otherwise, because like the Aruch HaShulchan's way, because it's nichlal and meat, or does the Shach mean it's not super junk food? That you could learn two ways in the Shach. But that's a classical machlekes. V'gam oyla shulchan aloch. Now, I was approached a few years ago, must have been one of the days I had vacation from Yeshiva, I don't know, it was Hanukkah or whatever it was, I don't recall. And I was sitting upstairs in the office, and I got a telephone call. So there were a chevra that's at Yeshiva, and they want to know if they can go to the local donut shop in their area. Now in the local donut shop, the Rav Machsher was not makbid that the fire had to be lit by a Jew. It wasn't makbid that the fire had to be lit by a Jew. Now, it really wasn't all that hard. It was not, there was a place that wasn't too far off the beaten path. And he could have done it. It also, he could have instructed them, there's not only one fire in the store that goes out to relight the fire from a far pre-existing fire. When the Mashgiach comes, just have him blow it out and relight it. So why in the world he didn't do that, I still don't know. So the guys went to him and he said, no, all the agencies are matter because donuts are not oyla shulchan melocha. So I was not happy with that. I said, as I mentioned to you last time, when you're dealing with factories and we have Ramosha's heter, so then whatever else svaras you add to it, you're enhancing a heter, but you have your 2 feet on solid ground already. So Ramosha's heter for factories, that there's no Bishul Akum. So all the other sneefing you want to add, good. But to build a whole heter on that, I wasn't happy about. But I didn't want to tell these fellas not to eat in the place. Unless Rabbi Yosham also agreed with me. If he agreed with me, then I was so. I sent the Shaila, I called up my friend, I sent the Shaila to Rabbi Frati. And Rabbi Frati asked Rabbi Yosham, and Rabbi Yosham said, no, he holds the donuts and we get the Oyla Shulchan Malacha. So I told him, don't go around your area and tell the whole world the place is treif. that, you know, he wants to be signed with the Rava Machsha, he's a Choshev Rava Machsha. But the Bnei Torah shouldn't eat from it. They have better things to do. If Rabbi Yoshev holds that it doesn't, it's substandard, then it's something that the Bnei Torah can do better than that. And they shouldn't be eating from it.
How would
you know that? You don't. Part of it they had, just somehow they discovered it. You know, they feel, well, however it is, you know, they happened to find out and they went to him. Why didn't want to change? I still don't know. What's the big deal? It's very easily correctable. You know, when you have a problem sometimes with something which is hard to fix, and you have a heter, okay, so you listen. So that you all, whatever, you have your cheshbonos, why you feel you have to do it. But this was not something that I still can't figure out the reason why not to do it otherwise.
Do you understand the reason why Olach Yochem Alachem is a geder, because Mashiach Mechazonos? Like,
yeah,
what is one can't
yeah, so that's part of the how to be Mashiach, what Olach Shulchan Alachem means. Olach Shulchan Alachem basically means, would you serve it as, you know, to a guest?
Like, would you break bread over it? Would you break
when you took a guest to your house, right? You invited an important business client. Is this what you'd serve him? Because the whole chasonis really revolves around that. What's chasonis? If you're going to form close, you know, personal relationships, so you're going to be mechabed the person that comes to you. So you're not going to serve him, you know, junk food. You're not going to put Rice Krispies on the table for lunch. You know. You're going to give him something, you know. It's a nice piece of fish, a piece of something, you know. Substantial to eat. It's very interesting how eating habits change over time. It's an amazing thing. And sometimes they change up and back. The Aruch HaShulchan says, he's not 1,000% convinced. He writes at the end, I think, Yesh Lis Yashav, he needs to consider it more. But the Aruch HaShulchan held that potatoes are not together Oyla HaShulchan Malach. He says, no, Choshev people wouldn't bother with potatoes. It's only the poor people eat potatoes. In Russia, the world where the potatoes, he said, in the last 100 years, the Aruch HaShulchan died in 1906 about, he wrote it, the Sefer, just before he died. So, in the 19th century, the potato took over the world. And he says, so all the poor people ate potatoes. He says, but well-heeled people didn't eat potatoes. So he says, the Chayodim lived 100 years before, and the Chayodim said that there's Bishul Akum and potatoes. So he said, yeah, when the Chayodim lived, potatoes were a novelty in Europe. So the rich people ate potatoes. But now that they became so widespread, it became the food of the poor, and the rich people don't bother with it. Which is a very interesting observation. I can say pretty clearly today, we would say it went back the other way. There's no question about it. In today's world, yeah, right? What is meat and potatoes? That's what it's about. You know, you go to any restaurant, you go to a chasana, they serve you potatoes in some form. Right? They fix them up, they make them a little fancier. But potatoes are considered a significant food, a food of significance in today's world. So
donuts are not junk food. What is junk food? Donuts are not junk food. They're old Al-Shifam.
Yeah, because I think Shabbos, because it's together like a cake. That's why. A cake can serve whatever.
So what's junk?
You'd ask me, I would think potato chips, for example, are junk food. That's what I think. If you'd ask my opinion, you know.
So, and potato chips...
Onion rings.
The way you cook something changes it. In other words, potatoes are Olal Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
But if you cook it like potato chips, then it downgrades it?
Well, I don't know. According to that, a problem would be, according to the Aruch HaShulchan's pshat, the Shach, I don't know if we could get away with that. Because he said the meat got classified as Oyla Shulchan Aruch. So I don't know if in the Shah it would work. Let's consider it more about the practical.
Is there a classic case in the Gemara of like what kind of food? Was it meat? Where did Aruch
Yochan, I don't know.
Aruch Yochan get that from?
No, that's in the Shas. Our Oyla Shulchan Aruch is in the, that's one of the basic Gedorim in the Shulchan Aruch.
But not meat?
No. He just said meat is the what?
All meat's included or only meat?
So he said, no, not only meat. All meat is included. That's the way he learned
so
shot of the
shot. Meat and potatoes, that's included with meat. Like it's served
no,
with meat.
No, we're not just served with meat. We're talking meat. We're not serving what's served with meat. We're talking meat. Now the Shulchan Aruch continues with the following. That the Shulchan Aruch says, and we'll end with this. He says, It's something that you serve together with the bread. So do you need this requirement of the lavis boas apas? So generally it's assumed la halacha that we don't need a requirement. It's something that you would normally eat with bread. Even if it's something that wouldn't normally be eaten with bread. You know, let's say pasta, for example. I mean, according to the Gemara's laconic statement about daisa, would apply to pasta too. The Gemara has a statement in Shasta, says, Hani Babli Tipshoi. You know that there was always a certain rivalry between Bohol and Eretz Yisrael. And the people, you know, stepped on each other's toes in a mild and nice way, but nevertheless, they stepped on each other's toes. The Eretz Yisrael, they had what to say about Bohol, the Bohol had what to say about Eretz Yisrael. So you find that there's a statement in Shasta, there's Hani Babli Tipshoi, these Babylonian fools. The Achle Nama Vanama, they make a bread sandwich. You know, what was the bread sandwich? They put daisa, they put farina on bread, and they ate it. So basically, you can imagine what we would say about a guy who makes a sandwich. He takes two pieces of bread, he takes a third piece of bread, and he stuffs it in the middle, and then he eats. So he says, that's what the Shah says, these are the Babylonians. They take daisa. What's daisa? The same wheat is in the bread. It's exactly the same thing. And then they put it on bread, and that's their sandwich. The achle nama benama. So, you know, this you have these. So, it's not something which is malafis is hapas. That's what I'm trying to bring out. So pasta is also not something which is malafis is hapas. You wouldn't take pasta, put it on a piece of bread. It would be rather foolish. So, according to what's strictly written in the Shulchan Aruch, it has to be l'lafis b'yas apas. So, that would be mutter, l'chayr. Elo, the Achronim say that the l'lafis b'yas apas is lav dafka. That you don't need l'lafis b'yas apas. No. Okay, that's chiddush because the Gro brings a mokor for it, but afa pikein, I believe l'halocha is generally assumed that we don't need that. And there are other heterim, you know, the heterim which exist. Another one that we don't really rely upon is there is a heter that something which is not nishtanam b'briyosai that didn't change form in the cooking remains mutter. So if you took, according to this, if you took for example a potato when you cooked it, so it's the same potato. It didn't change forms. It's just now it's softer than it was before. There's no bishul akam. The bishul akam only applies to something that you changed its format. But something that you didn't change its format, there are those that say there's no iser bishul akam on it.
So a hard ball, the inside becomes hard. So that Aruch HaShulchan wonders.
Is that considered, because the inside changed format, is that considered a change or not? But it's not a heterach with same mechana. As I said, there are many, many heterim, but not all of them are mekubal aloha. That's one of the ones which is not mekubal aloha.
Is egg actually a problem with shalak?
What?
Is eggs actually a problem?
Yeah, eggs is a problem with shalak, because eggs are not nechal chai. Right. Eggs are certainly.
The place that Dunkin' Donuts, the place in Five Towns, has a sign: if you order eggs, you can press the microwave button.
Okay.
It's eggs.
They make eggs in the microwave, so, but the workers are not Jewish, so they want the yid to press the mic to do the bishul himself. So this is just a little bit of an idea about some of the issues that are involved in bishul akum, and it's something that we do have to be careful about. It's not something, you know, to take for granted. So we've explored some of the basic issues last week and this week. I think next week we'll go on to other inyanim, but I did want to consider some of the issues of Mishul Akum.
I noticed the sign is late, so is it microwave?
What?
I noticed the sign. Yeah. It's having like three, I don't know, 5, 10 long time. Is there... with that microwave.
I want to ask you something else. Do you think